We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Timeline is a Blue Wire podcast. Sam, the Phoenix Suns were publicly executed today on ESPN. How you doing?
How many more times must I suffer? It's 1:30 in the morning, East Coast time. No. I don't want to shout. I don't want to shout too loud because right. I do have neighbors. ESPN really killing me with the start times. They have to start all of their games 20 minutes late and then end them 40 minutes late, obviously. The Phoenix Suns were executed again, Mike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of those games, this is funny because like I'm looking at the box score and I'm like, why? why open the box score for a night like this? All of this shit is fake.
Yeah,
Bradley Beal, 28 points, 4 assists, 6 for 11 from deep, fake. Kevin Durant, 25 points, fake.
Yep.
Devin Booker, 23 points, 8 assists. It's all fake. Why am I looking at it?
I agree.
They made a slight, not even, they didn't even make a real comeback in the fourth quarter. The game was never within like 13 points in the fourth quarter. I don't know why I was even watching at that point, but.
For this exact podcast that we're doing right now, that's the only reason.
I guess.
I question not necessarily why you and I are watching. I question why a lot of other Suns fans don't turn it off at a certain point. Earlier in the game. I'm sure there are a lot
well, they do.
Don't get me wrong.
I mean, they were letting me know on Twitter, all the people who were turning it off, and I get it. It's so they played like a basketball team for the first 6 or 7 minutes of this game that really felt like they were committed to a new game plan.
Yeah.
And they pushed the pace, and they took a bunch of threes, and they looked pretty versatile with what they were doing on the defensive end, although Minnesota was making tough shots. And even though they were down for most of that quarter, you kind of felt like if they just trusted in this process, that it wasn't going to be easy, but maybe the results would come. Second quarter comes, man. Wheels fall off.
Well, I mean, I think you could extend it even further. After that first 6 minutes or whatever it was, 33 minutes without a made three. 33.
And
there's 48 minutes in a game.
And here's what's most
33 most, minutes is crazy.
But most critically, Mike, you can't make a three. If you don't fucking take any!
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't fucking take any! We've been talking about this, and now I probably woke up my neighbors. We've been talking about this year after year after year, man. And supposedly the coaching staff, who are all lame ducks now, I mean, they're all fucking gone.
Yeah.
But supposedly has been shouting at them, screaming, begging for them to take more threes, and they come out and they do it for 6 minutes in the first quarter, and then where does it go? It disappears.
Yeah.
Disappears for two whole quarters. Not taking any threes in the second quarter, not taking any in the third quarter. They come out and they do it again in the fourth quarter. Okay, now it's a fake comeback.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal, you can have your 6 for 11 on the box score. It doesn't mean shit.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say. In some ways, I was thinking about it during this game. In some ways, the Suns, this Suns team died. You know, watching this game, I was thinking about this. This Suns team died when the NBA decided to start officiating the game differently. Because, like, there's so much of the way it's officiated now that just lends itself to bigger teams, teams that have bigger players. I think you have a much bigger advantage when you could be more physical, when you can get more rebounds, when you can contest shots better because they're not calling fouls or get into the passing lanes. Of course, that's always beneficial regardless of how it's working. But
or you bomb so many threes that it doesn't matter. And of course, I'm not like disagreeing with what you're saying. That
no,
like,
you're right.
If you have an Embiid type player right now who can just flop around when they're 290 pounds and make other players feel that brute force, that's great. Or if you've got Rudy Gobert on your team, that works for you. But the other thing is that if you can have players who can persevere and not even having to rely on the physicality necessarily, but can just bomb those threes, Suns have neither. They just have neither. The entire team, top to bottom, doesn't work. And so here we are. They're 3-0. I'm going to watch game four on Sunday, but we all know this series is over, obviously. I hope they just put us out of our misery.
Yeah, I would almost rather lose that. I feel bad for Suns fans. I feel bad for all the fans that were at the game tonight. I actually think the crowd is pretty good to start the game. And, you know, as the team lost all hope, so did the crowd. And as much as that happened, I know I don't even think it sold out. There were tickets for sale today. And it all sort of makes sense. I think it's really ironic that the team that became the most frustrating Suns team to watch since we started this podcast, and that includes a 19-win team, is the one that's available to watch for free to all Suns fans. Yeah. It's like this weird, like, what terrible timing for that. You're trying to create new Suns fans and you're serving them this. It's really the opposite of what you want to do. It's you know, if anything, it should have been one of the previous few years of this team. And I understand why Suns fans don't want to drop the money on this playoff game. I completely understand that, and I still think for the most part they came through. Even the booing, like, they should do that. That's you know, Mattishby is there. He should hear that. He needs to understand how frustrating this can be for fans.
I'm sure Mattishby is a fan of look, he's complicit in all this. He's complicit in all this because he assembled this monstrosity, as you pointed out online. But at the same time, he's a basketball fan. He understands that these guys are not, plain and simple, no matter how much talent they have individually, they are not capturing the hearts of Suns fans. And I think he's going to react to that. We're in uncharted territory with Ishbia, and now this becomes our first conversation out of what is going to be many, many, many conversations this offseason. We are going to have a fun time over the next 4 or 5 months, folks, as we talk about where these guys go from here. And basically, do you retool around the so-called big three? I would say that they're not a big three. But do you retool around that core of players? Maybe partially because you still believe in them, partially because they're unmovable. Or do you hit, to the extent possible, the total reset button? Understanding that, yes, you don't have the draft capital. You don't own your own picks over the next several years.
Yeah.
That it might get worse before it gets better. But at this point, man, I know you're not going to be on board with it. I know, because I know you. I know right now. But you can't deny to me that it feels like if the Suns really go out like the sorry ass team, if they get swept,
yeah,
it would be tempting.
Well,
to
I
just
would
hit
this
the
would
reset
be the,
button.
I mean, essentially, it would be the third year in a row where they're getting demolished,
and I think fans would welcome it. I think they
understand. I understand why they would. Yeah,
I know there are fans who wouldn't welcome it. Especially like if they ended up trading Devin Booker, if that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he means so much to the franchise. I understand that
to the city.
Also,
yeah,
I also think my brain is broken, man. It's 1:40 in the morning now, and just like we are in such a horrible pit of despair, and they've done it to me year after year after year, and always in the worst way possible, the most gut-wrenching way possible.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say right now is that anything's on the table. I don't care anymore. I don't care. Yeah, congratulations to the Phoenix Suns. You have broken me fully beyond repair. Like, if you want to go into the offseason and say, you know, oh, all they need is to fire Vogel and trade Nurkic for a center who shoots threes and, you know, get a traditional point guard and everything will be fine. Well, okay. I mean, look, first of all, I'm fine with us doing all of those things. We're going to talk about all those things this summer, too. Like I said, it's going to be a busy summer. But I have no love in my heart. When I look at Bradley Beal and I look at Kevin Durant, I just see failure. I can't even look at these guys. I don't enjoy watching them play basketball. I don't think they make anyone better on the team. I really don't. They just make me sick. And as for Booker, I have a lot of great memories when it comes to watching Booker. So, you know, I can't give him a pass with the way this playoff run has gone either. So honestly, whatever happens, happens. That's right.
I mean, he hasn't been good in the playoffs. I mean, that you can just kind of full stop. Was he probably the best option with the ball in his hands in this series? Maybe. But I don't know. That's like, you know, Nurkic is the best center on the Suns. It doesn't make him a great center. It's just kind of where you're at with this team. He shouldn't. I mean, he deserves some of the blame for this. And I understand where you're coming from. I think the difference between Devin Booker, and this is obvious, I'm stating the obvious here, the difference between Devin Booker and Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant is that Kevin Durant, 35 years old, awesome career, not getting better at this point, right? That's just where we're at with him. Bradley Beal, younger, but not getting better either. Now, to say that Devin Booker got better this year, no, that would be a lie. But the chances that he could be more successful in a season next year are a lot more likely than the other two guys. And I'm not saying that you immediately look at this team and say, how do we trade Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant? First of all, for both of those guys, I think it comes down to, do they want to be traded? Because for Bradley Beal, he has to. And for Kevin Durant, as we've learned with him, it's kind of up to him.
It was up to him in the past. KD, it's entirely up to him. He wants to go back to OKC. I think that's the discussion they could have.
Yeah.
Brad looks pretty happy losing on the sideline. I mean,
well, he's gotten used to it, yeah.
I guess. He has some nice sound bites, but some of the reaction shots of Brad on the side, I mean, there was one in particular coming out of the huddle where the Suns are down 18, and he's laughing it up with Isaiah Thomas, who shouldn't be on an NBA roster, but he's there for some reason. Even Isaiah Thomas is catching shots for me tonight, and he didn't even play. Like, I know it's not his fault. I don't care.
Yeah.
Scorched earth policy right now. Brad looked pretty happy and not like a serious basketball player, but, out of the big three, if they end up blowing it up, we know Brad's still going to be there.
Yeah. Unless he doesn't want to. Yeah. I think there could be a team that wants him and that may be all it takes.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
Are we going to be better for us if that was the case?
We'll have to figure out how to do a podcast that is essentially trading the whole team once again, you know, that we've done it before. I don't think there's any chance the Suns are just going to go, we're trading all three of these guys in one off season. Has a team ever done that?
No.
No, that would be completely unprecedented.
Well,
right?
How long did it take for Brooklyn? It not in all one off season, obviously, but what did it take, a full year?
I think we had... Well, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving got there first, and they played for, what, a season? And then they got James Harden.
Yeah, I'm
James Harden
about trading
was out
him away.
A year later, right? And then yep. They played a season with Ben Simmons and then another half of season right. Before the rest of them were traded. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, it was like a year and a half between the Harden trade and, yeah, but when all of them were gone. All right, that's fair. Yeah, but, like, unfortunately, I thought there was no way that we could be more disastrous and go up in flames in a more astonishingly terrible way than the Brooklyn Nets, and yet here we are. We don't even have health.
Well, the Nets were good when they were healthy.
That's what I'm saying. We can't even blame it on health, which is really that bad. So, yeah, we'll see how long it takes. I don't know. I think Ishbia is a guy who's going to work quick. By the way, people talking about fire James Jones, too. He's the one guy I think I have a little bit of sympathy for right now.
Yeah, me too.
And I think we talked about this on the our Patreon pod that we released yesterday.
Yeah. This is not to say, by the way, that he's like above any doubt as well. Like, he's done some things that are good and some things that are less good. But overall,
things that are horrible. He's made some horrible decisions in his tenure. I just don't think, like, you can't blame the specific failure of this team to me on James Jones, because it was so clearly orchestrated by Ishbia. James Jones did not want to give up Mikal Bridges in the KD trade. Ishbia acquiring the team is the thing that pushed him over the edge to do so. And Ishbia is the guy who wanted Brad Beal. He wanted to make another sexy big splash. So yeah. I think the only thing James Jones is really truly responsible for was the Ayton trade for Nurkic and Grayson Allen, which, I don't know, I guess to be determined on that. Some people were really mad at Yusuf Nurkic tonight, which I get. He sucked too. But to the extent of being like, that was the worst trade in Suns history, that was not the worst trade in Suns history. DeAndre Ayton would not have been the difference in this playoff series, folks. Mm-mm. I'll tell you right now.
No. When the chips are down, right, it's not exactly the series where you need somebody like him to lead a team.
You quite possibly traded one bum center for another bum center, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
The bigger problem we have is that Devin Booker, in terms of his attitude, maybe turned into DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, a little bit.
A single season. That's more of a problem for the Suns. Yes.
Yeah. I agree. I honestly, I'm sorry. I'm struggling to even know where to go next with this conversation.
I get it, man. It's hard because there's no hope. You're letting me cook. You're letting me ISO like Bradley Beal and failing to create space one-on-one against Rudy Gobert right now.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
You're talking about who will be on the team next year, definitely. I think the other guy you have to mention is Grayson Allen, by the way, who I think of all the players that have played on this team this year, somehow Grayson Allen might be the highest, have the highest Q rating, if you will, to use some election terms here. People really liked Grayson Allen this year, probably happy that he signed. I don't know if he's happy that he signed.
Wait, the highest what?
Q rating? You've never heard of that?
What is that? In what context?
It's like a thing where you turn how happy you are with somebody. It's like a knob that you turn during like debates and stuff like that.
Oh, that's called a Q rating?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
I thought you were talking about QAnon. I was like, dude, where is this conversation? Where is this going?
No, the word Q. About? I assume. I've never actually seen it written out.
Oh, a queue like a line.
Yeah.
Like a, okay, okay. I get it. I get it.
This is already off the rails.
Yeah, it's way off the rails. All right, let's talk about. Sure. Yeah, he'll be on the team. I like Grayson Allen. You know who else I like? Josh Okogie. He came into this game for 9 minutes. He fucked shit up. He finished as a plus
he hit
two.
A three. Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, he's a plus two, and Towns is minus one, which is funny because their whole starting lineup is plus 8, plus 21, plus 17, plus 19, and Towns
bowl,
is minus
bowl.
One. By the way, just mention the Timberwolves, who have played extremely well in this series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And also are not, like, overall this incredibly unlikable team where, like, I know I don't necessarily like Towns. I haven't really had much of a problem with him in this series overall. Like, all of my frustration and anger has been directly towards the Suns. I think Anthony Edwards is hilarious and pretty likable. Mike Conley, I think, is one of the more likable players in the NBA. Rudy Gobert, I can take or leave. McDaniels, I really like. But, you know, like, it is funny, though, where there have been, like, in some ways, I think we even mentioned it before the series started, where we talked about the idea of making more enemies, because that happens in the playoffs. It doesn't feel like that at all. It's just the Suns have been so outclassed and outmatched throughout this entire series. Like, it doesn't feel like any relationships are being made negatively here, right?
You make enemies when you lose games by 3, 4, 5 points,
right?
Right? When you have hope, you feel like you're really in it, but it was just one or two calls went the wrong way and you were robbed because of it.
Yeah.
That's how you make enemies. Nobody makes enemies going down by 15 and 20 points consistently, because you just have to admit, unless you're a complete idiot, that you're ass. You just have to admit that you're ass.
Yeah.
Nobody robbed you. Anthony Edwards has been sensational this series. He's actually, for a guy who we criticized his ability to manage the game, and understand, like, spatially where everyone is on the floor and handle double teams and all these different defensive coverages, he has really, really impressed me with his ability to bend the Suns'
tonight.
Defense.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And the fact
through
that,
double teams.
You know, the fact that the Suns can consistently throw doubles at Anthony Edwards because, let's face it, they are a one-star, like, maybe some people would argue for Cat, but I don't really think he's at that same level. They are a one-star team where you can throw doubles at Ant. And Cat, if he gets the ball, does not have the same ability to create with the ball in his hands. He can shoot really well, but he can't create like Ant can. So the fact that Ant has managed the Suns' defense with such a high degree of success, I've been incredibly impressed by his game, and I think they're going to give the Nuggets a hell of a series now.
What are the chances the Suns just pack it in and just, you know, really mail in a really bad performance in Game 4 just to get it over with? Pretty high, right?
Yeah, I'd say it's 50-50 with this team. I mean, I'm already dreading. We don't even wait for these podcasts. We don't even get to see what the players are saying in the post game before we get to record these. But I'm sure we'd get some good content out of it right now if you want to milk a few more minutes.
Yeah, I'm sure people
just so we can hit the normal 30-minute mark, so we can feel like people actually got their pods worth here.
Yeah,
but. I meant to say to you, you know, if it makes Suns fans feel any better, there's another team that's down 0-3 in the Western Conference in their series right now. Their name is the Los Angeles Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
There's another potential avenue this offseason that doesn't revolve around the retool and doesn't revolve around the total teardown.
Bronny James, and the savior of the Suns.
Avenue 3 is Bronny James with the 22nd pick.
We're going to have to make draft Bronny shirts and sell them.
Savior of the Suns, Bronny James. LeBron, he's coming. Do you think LeBron would even consider us with how bad we're playing right now? Like, doesn't he have to feel like he needs to feel like he'd have a chance?
Does he?
I think he does, yeah. And I think he knows at his age, he's way past the age. Same with KD.
They've been pretty bad. The Lakers have been pretty bad. For
no,
a
I
few
know.
Years, so.
I know, but see, with LA, it's different because he already won one there. If he's going to go to a new team, it has to be like, I think I can win there. Does LeBron, KD, Book, Beal, and, I don't know, insert fifth player here? Is that championship worthy?
Sure. He would love Grayson Allen.
He would like Grayson Allen.
Honestly?
He'd have to come here on a minimum contract.
KD stands. Turn off the podcast now.
Oh, are you serious? Are we going here?
LeBron in KD's spot? That would solve a lot of the Suns' problems. Right? Am I wrong?
They got no.
He drives a lot more. He would be by far the best passer on the team, and he makes the right basketball play like 90% of the time.
You got Bron tinted goggles on a little bit, I think, there. It's just
watch the playoffs so far and tell me who's been better.
He's still really old.
I'm not saying they're gonna win a championship. I just mean they'd be a lot better.
Yeah.
They
might be a little bit better.
Devin Booker on the booze. Rightfully so. This is Kellen's whole tweet. So Booker agrees with the booze, at the very least. How do you feel
Booker knows that, like, his shoe is done, bro. Done and dusted. How many how many shoes do you think he's going to sell if they get swept?
I don't know. How do you feel about the Fire Vogel chance?
I feel like it's fine. I feel like it's the most milquetoast thing you could chant.
Right.
Fire Vogel. The coach is always the first scapegoat. Obviously, you're going to say fire the coach. I said on Twitter, call me when they say fire Booker.
Right. I don't really have.
I have to go to Dwayne's.
I was checking. They don't have much yet. They're still there. It looks like Devin Booker might be talking right now. Not a ton of good stuff for them to even talk about, right? So it's probably going to be just really boring. And I don't know. We'll see. I mean, the guy that would be kind of interesting is Frank Vogel. Like, does he just kind of throw in the towel and say, I'm trying, I'm doing my best, but these guys don't listen? Or what is he going to do?
What is Frank going to do? You mean, does he go full Doc Rivers and just throw him under the bus in like a last ditch effort to save his job?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we might just see more dejected Frank Vogel. Remember the guy that Kellen described after the Clippers game in the regular season? I don't know. I don't know what version of Frank we're going to see. I guess we'll find out in a few minutes. I had no idea that Josh Okogie was ejected with 3 minutes left in this game because I turned it off. That's just me being honest there and saying I turned it off. So I'm finding out from Dwayne's feed right now that apparently Josh got ejected on that play.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, they called it a flagrant penalty too. I watched the end of it I watched it just in case something dramatic happened like that. That unfortunately was not very dramatic, so nothing exciting about it, but it is what it is. There's no reason to talk about adjustments for game four at this point, right? I mean, we could. What's the point? Am I wrong? What do people want to hear that? You know?
There's nothing to say. You guys will tell us what you want to hear for the next few months, I guess. Mike, the Suns only had 9 turnovers in this game.
I mean, there's a lot.
Stats like that.
There's a lot I think you could say about this game where it's like they played pretty well and they got their asses kicked. And that's kind of where we're at right now.
They also shot really well from the free throw line.
Royce O'Neal still hasn't made a shot in 2 games, by the way.
Dude, Royce, that's a great point that you brought up his name. How forgettable has Royce been that we didn't even remember that he was on the court?
He started.
He was horrible. He's been horrible in this series. He has been, not only has he been not shooting threes when he needs to shoot threes and continues to do his pump fake bullshit, even when they're down 20 points, but he's been a total non-factor defensively.
Yeah.
Doesn't even look like he's putting in the same hustle plays. I mean, it's instantly obvious when a guy like Josh Okogie checks in, and I get it. Josh Okogie might feel like he's fighting for his NBA life right now, just trying to scrap in any minutes he can get. But there's an instant injection of energy into the defense that it's clear the Suns want Royce O'Neal to be that guy, but he's not bringing it. And so that's an interesting question too, because, you know, if the Suns are going to stay over the second apron, they need to re-sign Royce just so that maybe they can trade him down the line. But there's another guy where I don't know if I want Royce O'Neal on this team long term. I don't feel attached to him either.
It depends on the amount of money. I think he would be fine. He's fine. He's fine. It's just...
He's fine. He's fine.
He's not a starter. And look, the Suns have 2 starters in this game. One of them scored 0 points. The other scored 3. You know, these guys probably aren't starters on playoff teams at this point. And this is not to say that it's not... there that this game is like their fault. But, you know, it partially is. And they need to play better than that. But yeah, I mean, if you sign him, you keep him, whatever. At this point, there's like larger questions to ask about the offseason and for the team. You know, Royce O'Neal Grayson Allen obviously would have played much better in this role. Grayson Allen has been much better in the role throughout the regular season. And unfortunate he didn't play tonight. And he would have helped a lot. Honestly, I'm not going to say that they would have changed any outcome of any game in the series if he didn't roll his ankle in game one. But he would have changed a lot about this series if he was capable of playing. We talked about him as an important X factor in the preview. And then, of course, he's played 10 minutes since then, pretty much.
Since you were mentioning that other starter real quick, you talked about Royce. Say that. I just want to touch.
Nurkic is getting absolutely punked by Gobert, man.
He has been disgusting.
Awful.
I mean, I've got the updated stats here. I just had to add it real quick so that I could do the math. 7 points and 7.5 rebounds per game this series.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a joke. Bismack Biyombo could give you those numbers or better.
Yeah. I mean, I asked for him halfway through the season. I still would have been happy with it. He's been terrible. He really has. And it's like, you talk about Bradley Beal as like a problem to potentially upgrade because of his no trade clause. I mean, there is a problem with Nurkic too. Is if this is who he's going to be in a playoff series, then he's untradeable in a lot of ways unless you attach assets to him. Like, there's a way. I don't know, to get too far into the offseason, but there's a way for the Suns to get under the second apron by trading Kevin Durant, and then you could potentially attach assets or aggregate players together to try to make other trades to improve. There is a way to do that. You know, you'd have to trade him to a team with cap space like OKC, for example, and then you can try to make moves. Like, if you get 5 picks back from them from their 400 picks that they have, then you can try to attach picks to Nurkic or Bradley Beal or, I don't know, whoever else you want.
Honestly, man, I'd even take, like, the Suns have so few assets of any type right now. You have to understand, I would even take second-round picks right now. Trade Nurkic for 8 second-round picks. I would take it. I just want any sort of...
Nobody would do that, though. That's what I'm saying.
You don't think anyone would do that? Didn't the Bucks trade how many second-round picks for Jay Crowder?
Yeah, but they expected him to play on a championship team. We're talking about a guy who can, like, very clearly. That's the difference, I think. It's like the value of a player who can play on a championship team.
Yeah, but I'm saying
they're
second-round picks. You have to give me this because I'm literally saying... Contending teams view second round picks as garbage, and I, the homeless garbage man that I am right now, I am so willing to degrade myself. I'm willing to dig through your garbage and take your second round picks, your precious second round picks, and hold them up and say, this is the future of this franchise. I'm willing to hitch my future as a Phoenix Suns fan to your garbage assets. That is what I'm prepared to do. Give me your garbage assets. And let me run out a starting lineup of garbage. Man, I've said the word garbage a lot in the last 45 seconds.
Understandably.
And Bradley Beal. And that will be my starting five for the next couple of years. And how
We're
much
just
worse
the Washington
could it get,
Wizards
really?
Now.
How much worse could it get? Yeah, maybe we are. We are.
I think we've had
Are we
enough.
Ending this?
Who's going to listen to this one? We need to
some
like
real sickos. Some
what should
real
we say?
Sickos.
We need to give them like a password to tweet at us if they got to this point of the text or tweet the word garbage at us at Sam and I to let us know that you got. You know, we're getting that
enough.
Anyway. Should we think of something more creative? Is that what you're saying?
Dude, we need to check the voicemail box because I have seen a couple of those trickle in. I haven't listened to them yet since the game ended, but I can't imagine it's good.
What usually happens at the end of the playoffs for Sam and I is when the Suns are completely out, we skip the episode after that game. So if the Suns lose the next game, probably, honestly, we'll take a week off. And then we come back, and then, honestly, the real fun begins. Because the off season, I still have a lot of fun in the off season. And for those, I got some nice compliments, believe it or not, when I said I have to record a podcast after this. For those who say that we're a good part of this season, I appreciate you guys.
Guys,
saying
if
those
you
nice
have
things to us.
Nothing else, at least we have our Suns family. We have our Suns community. Let's all be degenerates together.
Misery
Bottom
loves
line,
company.
Misery loves company. What did we learn today, boys and girls? We learned fire Frank, fire James Jones,
boo.
Fire Matt Ishbia, boo
no
the
Chick-fil-A.
Entire team, yeah. No Chick-fil-A, and draft Bronny James. Thank you and good night.